Good evening, y'all. I'm fixing to start. Let me make just a footnote. I truly believe that every believer, every Christian called, has been called by the Lord and saved and is empowered by the Holy Spirit to witness. He's empowered by the Holy Spirit to witness across the street and around the world. They're called and empowered not only to pay or pray, but also to participate by making Christ known. But according to the scriptures, it's also true that among his people, God calls some and send them to other parts of the world. As we find that in the church of Antioch, not all of them went, but all of them were reaching out. In other words, participating. Therefore, all of us are called not only to pay and to pray, but to participate every single day. And those also that the Lord has called and set apart to be a servant through whom other people in other parts of the world will come to believe are also sent and called and empowered to pay as well and to pray and to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us open God's word in Matthew chapter 28. Now you come to the end of the book this morning. In the beginning, now you come to the end of the book. Matthew 28. And I'm going to read from verse 11 to 20. I'm going to spend a few minutes in the first part and the rest of my time in the Great Commission, as we call it, of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is during the morning of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first part from 11 to 15. And I hope as we are reading, this inspired, infallible, inerrant, invincible, sufficient, and efficient word of the living God, I hope that you pay closer attention, trying to see and to feel it and to savor it, and to think. And this is the question. Jesus has already, not the question, this is the point. Jesus had already revealed himself to the ladies and told them to go to his friends, to his brethren, tell that he was going to Galilee. While it happened, you know the context here. The guards, and I have no doubts, are Roman soldiers. The Bible says this. Now, verse 11. Now, while they were going, and you see the ladies running, tell the disciples, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. And you know in the first verses what really happened. They could not do anything. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, talking about lobbying, we'll appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Until this day that he was finishing writing, inspired by the Holy Spirit, his gospel. Verse 16. Now, verse 16 to 20 didn't happen at that day. At least 3 weeks later. And if you want to see the chronology, go to John chapter 20 and 21. Now it's in Galilee. And Jesus stayed at least 2 weeks in Jerusalem. Or the disciples. The first night that Jesus appeared, Thomas was not there. Find that in John chapter 20. 8 days later, Jesus appeared there. And the third time that Jesus appeared to a group of the disciples in John, says it was in Galilee. Then these are few weeks probably, but within that period of 40 days that happened. Now let us see what really happened by this in Galilee. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, or having gone therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Now, the title that I gave for this exposition tonight was, "Which commission are we committed to?" Because what I'm going to highlight for you tonight is that here in the text that I read to you, we really find two great commissions. And the first one is verse 11 to 15. And I'm going to call this one the Great Commission of the Devil. And I'm not going to spend time with this one here, but I'm going to tell you why I call it the Great Commission of the Devil. First, because of the message. The message that was supposed to be propagated by these soldiers and others was, Jesus is dead. It is the opposite of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, I'm so glad that Matthew is the only one who put that story here, because as he was preaching the gospel, he began to hear that all the stories of Jesus was going around. And it's still today. And he wrote it so that the church may be sure what is the true story of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a contrast here in these two commissions. But the first thing that I like to tell you is this. I call it the Great Commission of the Devil because of the message. It is a lie. And my friends, you know what Jesus said. In John 8:44, Jesus said to a group of people, he was not very much sick or sensitive, but he told them, "You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning because he brought death." Genesis chapter 3. "And does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resource, for he's a liar and the father of it." This is the Great Commission of the Devil. There is the spirit of warfare always. And I know that you may tell, "Dr. Medeiros, I know that Jesus rose from the dead. Just go to the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's new for us?" But brothers and sisters, is it not true that sometimes you don't say that Jesus is dead, but we live a kind of life that displays this kind of teaching? Do your friends and other people that you know that Jesus is alive? And by the way, it's a great commission of the devil, and you know, because of the message of man. Contradiction in the message is very clear. If they were sleeping, they could not see it. And the motivation was money. Let me tell you, people, those people that are supporting here, they are not in that work for the money. They are for the Messiah, for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the devil's great commission. I don't want to spend too much time. This is a message given by man under the authority and protection of man, motivated by money, and some are obedient. And it's not amazing that we have this commission just behind, before the Lord's great commission. Which commission are we committed to? Now let us go to the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what I'm going to do for the time that I have, is to highlight what I believe, five I would say not only five principles, but five emphases that the Lord Jesus Christ, five teaching of Christ about this commission, that without which there will be no commission done, realized. And I'm going to put all in the form of C. By the way, I don't preach always C, 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 A, B, C, because sometimes does not fit. But this one fitted. And I'm going to call your attention for five teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, five emphases that the Lord Jesus wants us to hold fast as we get engaged in discipling the nations across the street and around the world, peoples and places, everywhere. And the five are this. First is the emphasis that Jesus gives you on the commander. Second is the emphasis on the commission. In that order, who is the commander? What is the commission? The comprehensiveness of that commission. Fourth, there was a time that I didn't have a C for this one. There was, I saw the strategy, how we're going to make this up for the nations, the strategy of the Great Commission. But then a former student of mine one day saw my agony trying to find a C. And she said, Dr. Medeiros, put there the course of action. I got it. The course of action. And the fifth emphasis here that I'd like to call your attention is for the company. You could call the comfort, but I'd rather highlight what is really here, the company with us. Then let us go together with this. First and foremost, let us go first. The first emphasis, the first teaching of Jesus about the Great Commission that you cannot forget is that He's the commander in chief. All authority, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority has been given to Him. Now, you should ask the question, I don't have time to go through the verse this morning, tonight, but you could ask the question, how far does Jesus' authority reach? You have your Bibles. I'm going to just highlight two verses. Just one. Go with me to Revelation. Very quickly, Revelation chapter 1. First of all, Jesus already said about how far His authority reached. Heavens and earth. Everywhere His power is displayed and can be displayed. But in Revelation chapter 1, listen, verse 5. When John in the island of Patmos, because of the word of God, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, received this revelation of the Trinity, practically, that's the Trinity. Verse 4 talks about God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 5, it says this, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. It's not only the missionary, He is the witness. The faithful witness. And it says more, the firstborn from the dead and what? The ruler of the kings of the earth. That is the first emphasis of the Great Commission. What Jesus is telling me is this, at least before you go anywhere, remember that I have power and authority over all peoples, all areas, all cultures, dominions over everything. And without the awareness of this power, the Great Commission becomes just an obligation. You can imagine the freedom that I have when I know, before I speak anything, I know that the one who is with me is the one who rules in heaven and earth and has, and is the Lord of lords, the rulers of the rulers of the universe. By the way, when I read that, I said, I care less for this idea of territorial spirits. Brothers, be careful. Do not overestimate the devil. The Bible says that we know his schemes. Do not overestimate the devil, but do not underestimate him. And by the way, the Bible never tells us to be afraid of him, but to resist him. Because of the King Jesus. That's the first thing that Jesus is telling us here. By the way, have you realized that every time the Bible, sometimes we think that the battle is between Jesus and the devil. He's the devil, he's Jesus, like one to one. No, my friend. Every time that the picture of Jesus and the devil are portrayed, you find the devil always under his feet. Praise God. It is always, it started in Genesis chapter 3. He will be under, the serpent will be under his feet. Jesus come in this world, and every time the devil see him, bow down before him. And you can imagine, my friend, the first emphasis, really, know the commissioner. Be intimate with the commissioner. Because he tells us, even for us to know that he is with us. By the way, the beginning of the book of Matthew started with telling about Jesus, that means God with us. And when I hear the promise of God, to whom all authority has been given, anytime I go to anywhere, I think and pray, because sometimes I'm afraid to open my mouth or to talk with someone, and I have to remember the King is with me. Jesus, you are with me. You have all authority, all power. The worst thing that this person can do to me, whatever I am, and I have been in many places, is to kill me. So, I'm going to heaven. And God will come along and say, Joshua, my servant is dead. Or Moses, my servant is dead. Now Joshua, come along. That's the first thing I want to know. When you are afraid, remember the one who is with you. That's the first thing that Jesus wants us to know, is the commander-in-chief who is with you. All authority has been given to him. Secondly, let us go to the second emphasis here. Because what is the commission after all? The commission, the only verb in the imperative, and I know probably have heard it from Kevin, the only verb in the imperative in this passage is not go, although it is right to translate it by go as an imperative. But the only imperative here is make disciples. This is the commission that God has given us. In other words, I don't care where you are. You are not obeying the Great Commission because you are somewhere. By the way, I'm not mad at you. I'm screaming, but I'm not mad at you. I grew up preaching the streets. That's the thing. I have never used this kind, these noisemakers, when I was preaching in Brazil. But remember, Jesus said, make disciples. This is only one word, only one verb, and this is really the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ to us. In other words, my question, wherever you are, is not, you are not in the mission of God because you are among a people's group somewhere. My question is, are you making disciples? I have people that came from this country to Brazil, liberals. And some of them call themselves missionaries because they were overseas. But they are not bringing the gospel. And by the way, if you turn back just a few pages in Matthew chapter 23. Jesus told about some people who at his time were going overseas. And he says this to the Pharisees. Matthew 23:15. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he's won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. The question is not where you are. Are you making disciples, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? And you know what a disciple is. By the way, my wife and I spent 4 years at least of our lives in the Amazon jungle. And you thought we went there, began to go to the jungle. We're really in the jungle and meeting adventurers looking for gold and land. And when we began to meet with them and share the gospel with them, my wife and I said, we want to stay here till we die. I was without her for 8 months because she was finishing nursing school, as I told to the seniors class this morning. And in November, I came back for us to get married on the 28th. of 1975. When I came back from the Amazon after so many months, difficult to contact with her, some churches there in my area invited me since I was coming from the Amazon jungle. They want to hear my story. And the questions were this, generally. Elias, did you see Indians? How do they dress? What do they eat? Very, very interesting anthropological questions. Now, to illustrate my point here, when Jesus says, make disciples, I'm going to tell a story that happened to me in the Amazon. I have many, but we don't have time for that. I'm going to tell you one story, and I'm going to guarantee you one thing. You will never forget my story. The story I'm going to tell you, and you too, okay, you three as well, the kids. You will never forget this story. But I hope and pray, and by the way, I'm going to forget all my points here as well. Probably. But I hope and pray that you'll never forget the point of my story. Ready? All right. I was there with the man was working there in the jungle, and we were by ourselves, and it's noon. And we are a little bit, we need to eat something. And he had some cassava flour there and a little bit of rice. And he said, Pastor, that's what we have to eat. Let me see if I can kill something here in the jungle for us to eat. And he got out with his gun, and within maybe 15 minutes, he came back with a game. Now, the game was a beautiful macaw. You know the macaw, those parrots? Beautiful macaws with red and yellow feathers. He killed one of them. We didn't know. I didn't know. He didn't know. It was an animal in extinction, and it was prohibited to kill that animal. But who cares, my friend? It's macaw or I? They say, he cooked that macaw. It was terrible to spend a long time just to cook that meat. And when I put it in my mouth, it was not that good. It was dry, whatever it was. Not good. I began to wonder, why is this animal in extinction? It's tough to cook. It's not good to eat. But anyway, we ate. Time passed. I have a daughter that loves pets. And while she was with us, she had pets. I think that animal should come inside when there is a flood. When the flood is gone, let them go. But I have no problem. She loved pets. She always had a pet. And anytime I tell with her, if she sees a pet shop, she wants to go. And we were here in the USA somewhere, and she saw a big pet shop. Said, Dad, let us go there. So, okay, let's go there. Now, you are not going to believe it. As soon as I entered the pet shop, guess what I saw for sale? Three beautiful macaws. And I went there and said, where are these macaws from? I said, from the Amazon. Ooh. I said, how much is one of them? And the lady told me $1,500. I never forget that. And I began to laugh a little bit. She wants to know why I was laughing. I said, you know, because you just told me that the most expensive meal that I have ever eaten in my life, I ate in the Amazon. $1,500 for the bird. Now, don't ask me what I ate in the Amazon, because I made a really commitment when I was there. Luke 10:7-8 was really real for me. Jesus said, when send the 70 and remain in the same house, eating and drinking things as they give. And he says more, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. No question asked. Therefore, I ate things the Amazon that I even don't know what was. My wife's not like this. She wants to know. I told you this story, but let me make my point. One day, I will be before the Lord. And do you think that the Lord Jesus is going to come to me and say, Elias, tell me about the animals that you ate in the Amazon. Elias, tell me how the people dress there. He's going to tell me, Elias, give me names. I put you there and all these people before you. Tell me what you did with the people that I put there for you. I hope and I know you'll never forget that story. But remember, one day when you are before the Lord and before the throne, the question is, give me names. I put them before you. Have you opened your mouth and shared the good news of the Lord Jesus with them? Now, if you ate these for the sake of make me known, amen. But I know that sometimes we want stories of the missionaries. But please, when you ask them, do like you are doing here. By the way, as I have heard and saw here, ask them about names. Ask them about people so that you can pray for them. And the people that are supporting here, I heard them during this week. They talk about people. Because the commandment of Christ is to make disciples, not just converts. That's the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And doubtless, the first step to make disciples is announcing Christ. You have to evangelize them to tell the good news. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, they're going to know the truth. And you teach the truth. And as they grow in that truth, in their relationship with Christ, in hearing God by the meditation of God's word, and speak to Him through prayer, worshiping together with you all, invest their resource in that, and sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the way it goes. Make disciples. I was telling once that we spend too much time in things that are not so important. Think about your conversations every single day, wherever it is. I told once, I'm going to tell you here, and I go to run for the rest. I love soccer. I told that once, I love soccer. You know, real football. The ball is round. You always use your feet. I love it. But I can't stand speaking for 15, 20 minutes about soccer or Super Bowl. Because when I look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the urgency of making disciples, the opportunities that we have, when I look at Jesus, have you realized that you could not stay with Jesus for 10 minutes? And he changed the subject, although related to what you talk. He hears the Samaritan woman, comes, Jesus thirsty, and it's noon, and she comes to get water, and Jesus is waiting, I have no doubt, waiting for that moment, waiting for her. She comes, Jesus thirst, it's noon, and Jesus says, give me a drink. He really needs the drink. And the Samaritan woman look and say, how is it that you are a Jew? Ask me for a drink. Now, if I were Jesus, this sounds heretic, but I'd say, lady, listen, we are human beings. We need to drink. I'm thirsty. Just give me this drink. Who cares who is Samaritan and who is Jew? All of us, if you're a human being, you need water. What Jesus does? You know what Jesus changed and says, if you knew who is asking you, you'd ask and he would give you living water. Now he changed the subject. And you know, the conversation, the woman thinking about the well, Jesus thinking about him to save her. To come to that moment that says, I know the Messiah will come. He says, I am the one. The one who commanded us to make disciples. He came, he went, and he made. Therefore, remember, make disciples. This is the great commandment. Now, let us go for the course of action. Now, the question, how are you going to make disciples of all the nations? I even forget the comprehensiveness. Why all the nations? Why all the nations is so easy to understand the comprehensiveness of this of this great commission. Why all the nations? First of all, remember this, because God made all nations for his glory. Psalm 86, 9 says, all nations whom you have made shall come and worship, bow down before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. And we know that's going to be fulfilled in Revelation chapter 5. Why all the nations? Because this is the plan of God even before the foundation of the world, and carry on for the whole Bible. For the whole Bible. And you can find that throughout the whole scriptures. The promise of the seed of the woman. The promise of the seed of Abraham. The command of God to God's people in the Old Testament. In 1 Chronicles 16, 23, 24. God commanded his people through a song, through a psalm that turned to be Psalm 96. By the way, everything to be sung in the Bible is everything to be done. This book of Psalms is inspired word of God. What was supposed to be sung by God's people is supposed to be done by God's people. And this, in 1 Chronicles 16, which is Psalm 96, says, sing to the Lord all the earth. There is a command. God wants all the earth to praise him. But how are the people going to praise in order for them, for this to happen? They should hear the gospel. And the Bible says this, proclaim, that's the command of God to us, the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders amongst all peoples. Throughout the whole Bible. In other words, what I read it here to you is not an afterthought of Jesus at all. That's the comprehensiveness. All have sinned. And if you want one more argument, because Jesus said so. Make disciples of all the nations. Jesus commanded that. The command in chief. Now, how are you going to make disciples of all the nations? And then Jesus gives you the course of action that I'm going just to be very quickly. First of all, for you to make disciples, you have to take the initiative to go where the people are. That's what you find here. This commandment that is really a past participle that indicates an action before the action of the main verb. The main verb is make disciples. But for you to make disciples, Jesus says, you have to go. This is an active commission. You have to go. And then the second thing you do, by the way, the order here would be, because the present participles here, you have to teach in them and to baptize in them. That was the order that Jesus always used. This is the order in the great, when the Pentecost happened. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, stood up and spoke to them, preached to them. And the Bible says that they accepted, means they believed, and they're baptized. This is the order. You go to the people, you share the good news, you preach, you share, you say, you witness to them. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't forget that. By the power and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as they are being convicted and they believe, they're baptized. And that's the way God said. That's the course of action. You go to the people. You speak to them. And those who believed will be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Which implies church planting, but also which implies that the whole Trinity is involved with his work. The whole Trinity. And that's the way. The Great Commission is this teaching, witnessing commission. And he gave us the Holy Spirit for that. Now let me finish with the last point here. The last emphasis here is this. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is not just a promise. This is a fact. We count with the company of the one to whom all authority and power has been given every single day. Because here, spantatas hemeras, I'm not speaking tongues. Just say, it's every single day, 24/7, till he comes back. Says, I am with you. These are the promises that we find in the beginning of the gospel. And it closes with this, I am with you always. Means till the end of the age, till I come back again. This is the same promise that not only God the Son makes, but also God the Father makes in the Old Testament to his people. When he says to us, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold him, uphold you by my righteous right hand. He promised to be with us 24 hours. When the days are difficult, he's with us. When the day are joyful, he is with us. This is the promise he has, my friend, to those who are going to make him known. Every single day, we count with the presence, with the comfort, and with the power of the one who has authority in heaven and on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, by his Spirit as well. I'm going to tell one story and I'm going to finish. You're not going to forget that story either. You don't have a clue how many people, believers, have suffered and died, but never in despair, knowing that Christ is with them. Paul, it happened to Paul in 2 Timothy. You don't need to go now there. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, 17, Paul says, repeats the Great Commission. When he's going to be killed, says, everybody left me, but the Lord is with me, so that I'm witness the gospel to the nations. He used the same expression, the same phrase as in Matthew 28. He used in 2 Timothy 4, 16, 17, his last letter. But I'm going to tell the story. The story is this. You see this beautiful lady there? This is the most beautiful lady here. My wife. She had an aunt that we call her Tanta Minka. Tanta Minka worked in Thailand, in the south of Thailand, for many, many years. She was working with Overseas Missionary Fellowship, former Hudson Taylor Land Mission, for many years. For the last 15 years, she was working in Thailand with Margaret from Great Britain. And they work as a nurse among lepers and sharing the gospel with them and take care of them. One morning in the hospital, some people came there and said, we need nurse to go someplace. We have an emergency. And she and Margaret went into the car. These were terrorists. Now, I'm talking about my wife's aunt, my mother-in-law's sister. And it was in 1975. I was in the Amazon jungle when I heard this story. And we began to pray for them, because those terrorists began to make requests to the mission organization that they told it could happen. Said, we'll do our best to liberate you, but we're not going to give money nor compromise our message with them. We began to pray. People everywhere began to pray. And one day, it was in March 1975, my mother-in-law in Recife received a call from Great Britain, tell you don't need to pray for them anymore. We found the bodies of both of them. The terrorists have shot them. Later we heard that someone who was dead and left the group told and shared how they were killed. When they heard that the terrorists were going to kill them, they said, just give us time to pray. And as they knelt down to pray, those terrorists shot them. I'm talking about my mother-in-law's sister, my wife's aunt. And one of the things that they always embraced was the fact that Jesus said, I am with you every single day. Once in a while they were still alive, send a note to her mother in the Netherlands. Her mother passed away a few years ago. My mother-in-law and my father-in-law gave me a note and showed me a note, the last note that Bizoma received from her daughter, Tanta Minka, before she was killed. And I'm going to read to you the last note she sent to her mother. The last note, she just quoted Habakkuk 3:17-19. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Few of us have ever gone through something like this. But she continued, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. And God took them to his high hills. Do you really believe in this authority and power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you really embrace the commandment to make disciples of all the nations? Do you believe that he's with you no matter what? When I was in the Amazon, things were tough. One day I wrote to my father-in-law, and he just sent me 2 verses of Isaiah and sent me a note, said, son, Jesus never promised us a quiet journey, but a safe arrival. Oh, Father, move us to make disciples of all the nations across the street and around the world. And help us to see, Lord, that all authority, all power is with you, and you are with us every single day. Help us, Lord, to take the initiative to go where people are. Open our mouth and know them and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through your Holy Spirit, they may be converted and saved for the glory of your name, the growth of your church, and the spread of the gospel among all the nations. In Jesus' precious name, amen.